Hello and welcome to episode 27 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. I have a special guest, Matthew Pinkard.
Hey, everybody.
We are so glad to have him. Matthew hails from the lovely town of New Orleans, where they are busy in the Lenten season, awaiting Easter. I'm sure it is a ton of fun down there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, awesome. We've got Matt on. He's going to be giving us a regionals report from a recent regional they went to. But first off, just some quick logistical items. Again, we want to invite everyone to join us on Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinest.ia@gmail.com. We'd also like to encourage people to support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest so you can get all the awesome swag that we're giving out. Let's turn it over to Matt to introduce himself before we get into his regional report.
Hey guys, my name is Matt. I go by the Welcome Matt on the Zion's Finest and all the forums and stuff like that. So if you've seen me posting, that's me. From New Orleans, and I've been playing IA. I actually got the game, I guess, around July of 2015. Started off, dipped into just a little bit of campaign, but wasn't able to actually go through a campaign. And then just kind of watched the game grow from a distance, because I was busy in school getting my master's degree, so didn't really have time to play. But eventually, last summer, I graduated and finally had free time on my hands, so I dipped into Skirmish, went to my first local last August, and then I found out about Vassal, and it's been down the rabbit hole ever since. So
that's awesome. Did you ever play X-Wing or any other FFG games?
No, I did not.
That's, well, so IA has been like your first, has that been your first real dive into a miniatures game?
Yeah, definitely competitive miniatures. I had some friends that let me try out Warhammer and stuff with them, and I thought it was cool, but it wasn't ever my, my passion, I guess you could say.
So. You didn't want to spend $5,000 and the rest of your life painting a Eldar army?
No, and my wife didn't want that either, so.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Indeed, indeed. Awesome. So what kind of lists, what kind of faction, like, what do you like to run?
You know, I like everything, but I think I typically find myself playing either Mercs or Imperials, so I'm sorry, don't hate me, Kenny.
gosh, dang it!
I think there's just more variety, I feel like, with the list building there, but...
I mean, you know, you'll see the light one day, I'm sure.
Things are getting better, yeah. Things are getting better for Rebels. I'm excited about the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so...
They'll do really good. What's a figure that you think is underrated?
Underrated. Oh, that's tough. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the Wookiee Warriors lately, actually.
Interesting. That's a great choice.
Yeah.
What's a figure you think is overrated?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, the figures that are really swingy, like, you know, they just can perform so well in some games, but then be terrible in others. So, you know, Han, IG-88, Vader.
What? Han? Han is, like, the most consistent figure in the game.
Well, you know, he really needs On the Lamb, and those dodges help too. So, yeah, the highs are high and the lows can be low. So, that's just true in general for the higher cost of figure is, I feel like. So
that's a great observation. Cool. All right, well, let's get into your regionals report. Tell us where it was, how it went, how you crushed it.
I don't know if I'd say crush it, but yeah, I went to a regionals. This is kind of a blast from the past at this point. It was the last week of January, so so it was kind of, if you think about where the meta was just a month and a half ago, it was before the Riot Troopers had really kind of come out of their shell, I guess you could say, and people realized how awesome they were, and it was really when Vader Palp was kind of like the big thing. The tournament was in South Mississippi at a, you know, local store there. And I kind of went into it expecting there to be a lot of people running Han, running Vader Palp, since that was the new hotness. Our local meta tends to despise the Ugnaught Swarm, so I didn't really... I figured if anyone was going to run that, it's going to be out-of-towners. But I knew the community's ire had grown pretty fierce at that point, so I didn't expect to see many of them.
Good.
So, and there weren't any, so
yeah,
that worked out for my list, but...
If I was an Ugnaught player, I would not want if I was not very experienced with it, I would not want to test it out against Vader Palp at a regional, right? Because you're going to be seeing a lot of Vader Palp and not knowing exactly how that matchup is going to go. I don't think it's as bad as people originally thought, but it's still, it's definitely not ideal that if Vader gets into your grill, he's going to murder everybody.
Right, right, yeah. And it's balanced out so much better than where it was from before Heart of the Empire. So, yeah. And it's interesting. It's a different type of playstyle and a different unit, so I do appreciate it brings something different to the game.
I don't, but
the terminal protocol is what could be really... Ugh. Yeah, whenever that gets pulled off, that just feels... It feels worse than an overrun grenadier from a jet trooper, so...
Yes, it does. Oh, it's just brutal.
Yeah, so...
All right, so tell us how the tournament went.
Yeah, so... yeah, I guess I'll just go through round by round. So
what were you running?
Yeah, so I was running a mercenary faction list, but not totally mercenary. I had one set of, and I guess I should say here up front, I own one set of everything in the game, so I don't run doubles of, like, I never run a double jet, double riot, that kind of thing, because
sure,
I only want one of everything. So I have one set of elite sentry droids, one set of elite weakway pirates, one elite Jawa scavenger, bringing in C-3PO, an elite Clawdite shapeshifter, Devious Scheme, Black Market, Onar, and Greedo.
Oh, it's so good.
4 points. So, yeah, kind of an unusual list. People may say blasphemy because there's no Gideon.
Yeah, but, it's true. I mean, yeah. And I mean, you've got like three of the best focus targets in the game with sentries, Onar, and Greedo. So yeah. You'd think you'd want it, but
exactly.
Gotta cut somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Command cards, I had Assassinate, Call the Vanguard, Heightened Reflexes, Tools for the Job, Comm Disruption, Tough Luck, Primary Target, Negation, Intelligence Leak, and then my zero costs were Officer's Training, Celebration, Positioning Advantage, Element of Surprise, Planning, and Take Initiative.
Those are great choices. Obviously, you don't have On the Lamb because you've only got... Who are your smugglers? Greedo?
Greedo and the two pirates. And then the Jawa, yeah.
Oh, and the Jawa. Yeah, so I guess it's not totally worth it there, and it frees up. You can get Call of the Vanguard, which is awesome. Comm Disruption, which is interesting, because you only have the one spy, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, perfect.
When I get to the round by round. So,
perfect.
Yeah, so... And I guess I'll say up front, I really wrestled the night before the tournament. I think I sat there for like 4 hours debating what list to run because I was like, I really loved running Vader and I felt like I was doing pretty well with him on Vassal. Not like I'm an amazing player or anything, but like I was like, yeah, he's winning me some games. And I felt really good because one time I pulled off the Wombo combo where you do like, you run Vader up and then you do is it either dark energy or looking for a fight. And then you do a parting blow.
That's
after you've pummeled them. So you've already done two attacks. I killed a Vader one time like that. I pummeled him, then I did that parting blow to
that's
kill him.
That's disgusting.
It was brutal. The game was over after that. but that made me fall in love with Vader so much, just that you could do that. But sure. But I wasn't comfortable because I don't feel I'm as strong with the Jets. And I just feel like my positioning needs to be better with them. So I just kind of went back to what I felt like I knew best, which was the mercenary stuff. But I really liked the idea of Intelligence Leak because I felt like I was just kind of trying to predict the meta that would be there, and I felt like if there was going to be Hans with On the Lamb or IG-88s with Blaze of Glory, that the possibility of removing that would just be so huge. So
huge. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah. So that was kind of some of the thought behind that. Round by round, my first round was actually a buy, and it really worked, so I used my store championship, free buy thingamabob, and that really worked out for me, because the first, mission was Raining Freight on Nalhutta, which I think is kind of a weaker mission for my list, and so I just kind of got to watch a few of the other rounds, and there were some really close games round one, so it was a lot of fun to watch those.
How many players were at the tournament?
Oh yeah, we only had 10, which was still all right. We had a few guys that weren't able to make it, and a few of the guys' wives just because of work and stuff. And I know there were some other guys from Alabama and South Mississippi that couldn't make it there either. So sure. I feel like if everyone had been there, we would have easily had 20 plus. But you know, that's the nature of life. So
yeah, exactly.
But we did have some. We had one guy there from Orlando, from Houston, from the Atlanta area. So we had folks from all over come. So it was really great. So first round had the bye, so I was 1-0. Second round, We went to Moss Isley Back Alleys, which I'd only played on like twice before at this point, because it was brand spanking new, and I didn't really know what to do. But we played on the Concealed Treasures mission, which is the one where you pick up the crate, and for 4 points you take it to the drop-off point in the deployment zones.
Yep.
So my opponent was the gentleman from Houston. He was running Vader Palp, double E-Jets, double Officer Zillow. And since I had Devious, I took the bottom right zone, the red one, if you're looking at the map, that's got all the sandy terrain in it and stuff like that. So I started off, my starting hand was Negation, Tough Luck, and Planning. You obviously love seed planning in that first hand. So
Oh yes.
Played planning on the Jawa, got me Con Disruption and Call the Vanguard, which is just perfect for start of round two. Then my end of round got me Tools for the Job and Officer's Training, which was also really great. So, but he ended up moving both of his E-Jets on the leftmost side. He was just trying to keep them safe and like use one to pick up a crate. He ended up running his Vader up in my face on the right side, where there's the lane by the terminal.
Yep.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
So he ran his Vader there so he could get his end of round and stuff like that. He just had him up in my face right away. But his Palpatine, he actually tucked close to the bottom door in that area between where there's that difficult terrain and the door right there.
Yes.
So that upper right corner. So he tucked him in that corner, and this ends up being a big mistake for him. But I was able to play Call the Vanguard, and I used a sentry with a focus and a damage power token because I'm dishing out power tokens with my Claudite. And and it turned out to be crucial in some matches. Put 6 damage on a jet trooper saved by Zillow, so I was like, ah, oh, Zillow. then round
but
one.
But you've got Devious scheme, so.
Yeah, and Devious turned out to be really huge for me the whole tournament. But then I was able to activate one of those, that droid that I just moved up, and multivire to kill 2 officers in one. In one thing. So
that is huge.
It was huge. So, you know, I just took out 2 of his activations, and I'm like, I don't care if I lose that sentry at that point. He's put in his work. So then he uses Palpatine. Well, at this point, Palpatine had already tempted my Jawa, and he attacked the Jawa. I forgot with who. I think it was with Vader. And he rolled, he didn't roll the greatest roll, but then I was able to tough luck one of his die, and the Jawa like barely survived. And so then the Jawa, you know, a lot of people don't think of the Jawa as an attacker, but when he's doing cleanup, he can be awesome, because he has tools for the job. You can focus him up. So the Jawa runs up to Palpatine, plays Tools for the Job, uses the damage power token that Palp had tempted him with, plays Officer's Training, and ends up doing 8 damage to Palpatine.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so Palpatine's, you know, trembling in his garments, and then Onar runs up, finishes him off with a rush and a shot to the face, which felt really satisfying. Then on the other side of the board, I just kind of had Greedo and a Weak Way just kind of sitting there chilling. They ended up running up to grab 2 crates on the right side, towards the top right, and they eventually cashed them in during round 3. So they just I just kind of used them for objectives this time. So I had a good lead at this point. Vader was able to kill off a few of my folks. The Jawa died, dropped off my crates. Vader ended up taking he kind of had a tough choice. He could have gone for my Greedo, or he could have gone for my 3PO. He ended up taking out my 3PO. But then he played Celebration, which really scared me because I was like, oh, man, like it made it feel like he was about to come back, but actually had enough of a lead that it didn't matter. I had Assassinate sitting in my hand, and we got to the end of the round, and I was winning 29-24. So I guess even if he had killed Greedo, I still would have won by 3, but it got really close for comfort there for a moment. So.
Yeah, but that is a story of a game that is won round 2 by Devious Scheme right there.
Yeah, and Call the Vanguard.
What a great combo.
Yeah, it's so huge. So that was round 2, so now I'm 2-0. Round 3, go to Nalhutta Swamps to Shielded. And I kind of got lucky that my matchup was against another Merc list instead of against a... I feel like against an Imperial list, I would have really had a harder time on this map.
Yeah.
Especially if the riots had been a thing back then. But I played a guy, actually the guy that was TMing our tournament, his son, he was my opponent. He was running Bossk, Onar, Vento, Rebel Care Package, Jabba, and Elite Weakways.
Whoa!
So kind of a throwback old school.
That is a blast from the past. This guy,
old school, yeah.
Yeah, that is. Oh, I mean, you know, Bossk. It's like, why would you run Bossk when you can run Shyla? But.
Oh, yeah. Well, his Bossk shined at this match, but we'll talk about that. So, and he's actually a really good Destiny player. I think he's won Destiny tournaments and stuff, so I have a lot of respect for him. But
sure.
Not that he plays Destiny, but that no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's
but, right. Yeah, so with Devious, I obviously made him take the blue pawn, the top zone, the thin one, whatever you want to call it, the dreaded side. He ran up Bossk on, if you're looking at the red zone as the bottom, he on the left side to contest the shield there. But then he put his Vento and his Onar on the far right side, and I think this is one of the big mistakes he made this game was he kind of... I sent my Greedo up the right side, so it was Greedo versus Vento and Onar, and that, you know, I was totally willing to make that trade just to get Onar out of the fight.
Absolutely.
That was his big mistake. His other mistake, though, was, I think, underestimating the power of the Sentry Droids, which I don't think he'd really ever faced before. He hit his weak ways well in the middle to where a place I couldn't get them, but I think he was assuming he was going to pull off take initiative, but I was able to, I don't remember if I had Condisrupt or Negation, but I was able to stop it. And then I played Call of the Vanguard to move a Sentry Droid up into the middle, and then I was able to take out both weak ways before they got activate. So I think I killed one, then I was able to like multi-fire and then kill another weak way and C-3PO.
Oh my gosh.
So he, you know, he's down three figures with Jabba. He's in big trouble at this point. But some other highlights of the match were his boss dodged four times, including a reroll from a dodge into a dodge. From a weak way attack, you know. So I'm thinking, oh yeah, weak way, it's not gonna be a problem. I was able to tough luck away one of his dodges, but Bossk actually, he was really annoying. He did a ton of damage to my Onar, but I was able to run him away with like two or three health and deny him those points. And I sacrificed some weak ways to contest the shield, but to keep Bossk busy with killing them instead of getting to Onar. Because, you know, once he's stuck behind that difficult terrain and those weak ways, he's not getting to Onar.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, with that four speed, so... and at that point, the writing was kind of on the wall, and so I ended up taking that one 40-16. But yeah, props to Xander though. He's a good player. He'll get better as time goes on. So
as soon as he drops that dumb Destiny game,
I know. So that was round three. At this point, I'm 3-0, and we only had a four round going into the top cut. So I felt pretty good about my chances right now. There was just me and another guy sitting at 3-0. So we ended up playing each other. The gentleman who made the long drive with his daughter from Orlando in one day.
Holy smokes.
Like 13 or 14 hour drive. Something like that. It's crazy. But he was a great player. He was running Han, E-Rangers, Elite Echo Base Troopers, two regular smugglers, Gideon, 3PO, and Balance of the Force.
Interesting. So, No Hera.
Instead of the smugglers, he was going for the activation so he could guarantee either Han or E-Rangers at the end of the round. But I think ironically in that list, he found out that it was a tough choice a lot of times for him.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
It's kind of like with Ahsoka and Han. You want one of them both going at the end of the round and not both. But anyways, so we were playing on the Mos Eisley back alleys, the one where you get 2 points for controlling a crate. I forget what it's called. Stashed Away, something like that.
Yep, that's it.
So I took the bottom right zone again, the sandy one, because of Devious. I felt like the boxes on that side are just a little bit safer. There's a little cypress nest over there, so I felt good about my left going over there. Now, I think I should say up front, I don't have much experience against Rebels in general. Even when I've played on Vassal, I've only played Rebels there just a handful of times, and I've only played Rangers like maybe three or four times, so I know like what they're capable of, but I've I still like don't fully know, like I at that point I didn't know totally what to expect. But I think this game, I didn't draw Negation or Calm Disruption my opening hand, so that made me a little nervous that he would take initiative. He ended up overextending one of his Echo Base Troopers toward the middle door by his terminal, and he opened the door. And I told myself, don't go for him. You know that it's risky. You know that he's just baiting you. And I think at this point I was just playing so casual and so like confident I was getting into the top cut that I just started playing kind of risky. And so I moved up the sentry. I did exactly what I told myself not to do, and I tried to finish off the Echo Trooper. Anyways, I re-roll. He tough lucks it, so my attack doesn't even make range. So he's hanging on for dear life, but now I've got my sentry exposed at the edge of my deployment zone area over there. So at this point, he rolls in his Rangers, and typically with what he had to get his shots, unless he had like all of his hunter cards, he wasn't going to be able to kill him. But my sentries rolled really poor, and they rolled poor on defense all day. Like, I think I got a single block on every defense roll the whole day. So it was just, that didn't really help. But
so they've got eight hit points, and that's it.
Yeah, and he's piercing through that one block anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was almost like he elemented and surprised every attack. It was just, it was just felt dumb. But
that's painful.
Yeah, so he ended up killing the sentry. He moved his Han in the middle to contest the boxes there, and I moved my Greedo next to him to have the classic Han versus Greedo. So Han ends up killing Greedo, but then Greedo parting shots it for 6 to 7 damage. So I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah, was your Greedo? Do you focus Greedo, or do you just let him go up and do his thing?
It really depends on the opponent's list and where I think I'm going to be putting Greedo for that game, because it just depends. Like,
okay.
Yeah, there were some situations, like there's one I'll talk about later, where I didn't focus Greedo because I just saw the targets that he was going to shoot at. And if I don't feel like that's a high-value target, I can put that focus on a weak way, and it's better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the weak ways get so much mileage out of it.
But. Yeah. Yeah, it depends. And since I had primary target, that was, you know... It's funny, like, primary target's a really good card, but people are still surprised by it now because not everyone that runs a hunter list automatically is going to run it.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
Yeah, and that's part of why I ran it was I don't have as much focus, but also kind of the surprise factor is like, oh, crud, like, you know, that plus one damage focus is really strong. So,
especially when you need it, right? Because you're dropping it down when you're like, I need to get rid of Han or IG or Vader, right? And all of a sudden now it's you're taking out a high-value target with a lesser value card, but the value is just compounded by what you're attacking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's oftentimes it's the value of an assassinate. So
yeah, absolutely.
So I ended up I had a weak way move up and was able to kill Han outright with no return fire. So that felt good.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So at this point, the game is really close, but I made a big mistake. I wasn't paying attention to the timer, and at this point, the game. I didn't realize how close we were to time. We only had maybe 5 or so minutes left. And I had my Onar up in the top right corner of the map. And he was close to an Echo Base Trooper that hadn't activated yet. But I was also close to a Ranger that had full health but had already activated. So I had that dilemma. Onar had a focus token on him. I think I had him focused too. Yeah, he was focused. So I knew with a focused Onar with a power token that he had a good chance of taking out one of those figures in one shot. So I ended up going for the Echo Trooper. And if I'd been paying attention to time, I would have just gone for the Garrett more likely kill, which would have been the Ranger. But he ends up living with one health exactly. Yeah, it felt really bad. I was like, oh man, that was just enough to kill that Echo. And I didn't realize it till after the game, but, so it ends up, he saves that Echo, and time gets called, and I lose by exactly 4 points.
Oh,
21 to 25. Yeah, and the crazy thing, too, is I would have won if we had the tiebreaker, because I would have had more kills. So
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I shot myself in the foot, but he played that game well, so he still deserved the win. But
absolutely. And a lesson was learned.
Yeah, a lesson was learned. Pay attention to time. So
that's right.
So, I felt a huge sigh of relief at this point. I made the top. We had a top four cut just because of a number of prayers. Went and grabbed me a Wendy's salad, got ready for the final game, and ended up having a rematch with the gentleman from Houston who was running the Vader Palp Jets list with the two officers. So we played on Jabba's Palace, the Spoils of Crime, which is the one where you get 2 points for each crate you carry at the end of a round.
Yep.
And I'll just say up front, this is one of the weirdest games of cat and mouse I've ever played in IA. it was so odd. So, and I think part of it was because he saw what my list could do in the first game, he was a little terrified of the firepower I had, because I do have a number of figures with three dice, and eight of my figures are legit attackers.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, you're going to be dealing a ton of damage with everybody, right?
Yeah, so I mean, my list is kind of glass cannon-y, but it can hit really high. So he ends up, I forgot what color the zone is. It's the one where you have the impassable terrain by the terminal, the little stairs there. I think it's the red side. So I took that side just because I liked being able to like hide a 3PO or something back there and kind of tuck my figures in such a way that I could threaten the weak ways or the sentries to pop out on either side to take range shots, depending on what he chose to do. I don't remember what I drew round one exactly, but I know I had either negation or comm disruption, so I felt pretty good about initiative round two, which I knew would be critical for me because of Devious and all that. So I ended up moving my figures to the right side and eventually to the throne room. I threw Greedo down the pit to get crates on round two. He moved his jets to the left side of the hallway, of that middle hallway with all that blocking terrain and the walls and stuff. But he also put Vader and Palp there, and he kind of kept them in the back. So he ended up, like, because my figures are like on opposite sides of the map, he didn't even have a force choke with Vader end of round one.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yeah, he was kind of just out of the way. So, and round two, he tried to take initiative, and I stopped it, and he was pretty flustered by that. And I think he let it get to him, and but yeah, I was able to stop it. So he ended up opening the door to the pit. I was able to use my Onar to kill off a few of his E-Jets from one group and seriously hurt another one, so that, you know, it was kind of like if he decided to move his E-Jet up, sure, he could get a three dice attack, but then I'm gonna run out and kill him. So he kind of just had to like hide him back. And Vader followed Greedo in the pit.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he should have been more aggressive with Vader he was game one. He put Vader down there, and he did. It wasn't a good trade because I mean I don't mind Greedo dying. I went in and played primary target because I'm like I'm not gonna be able to use it on anyone else, and I did like 3 to 4 damage to Vader, but I didn't care anyways because I didn't plan on killing Vader. But Greedo got also, his points worth.
It's soaking up Vader's attacks, right? Like, that's the thing. That's like, and I know that, like, all good Vader players know this, but this is something to know when playing against Vader. Each of Vader's attacks is so insanely valuable because you've got 13 points that you're investing into a melee attack, right? So it's like, you're not going to be able to get a ton of them. And everyone he does on a figure like Greedo, you're like, I don't care. Like, Greedo's meant to die. He's meant to die and do damage on his way out, so.
Right. And part of it was just because he's running with the Jets, he knows against my weak ways and sentries and my Claudite that, like, I'm going to take any traits if he tries to come across the throne room. So he knew he can't just run across that way with his Jets and stuff, or I'm just going to obliterate him.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
He knew I had initiative round two. So I think he played conservatively, but that played to my advantage because then I could just take a crate and put him on a timer.
Yeah,
And force him to move up, and that puts me at the advantage because I can hide my weaker figures back and then run them up and snipe them. So, anyways, my Claw sat back and just kept dishing out power tokens, and 3PO was handing out focuses, and all my figures were getting powerful and starting to run three dice, and my 100 cards were ready to go. So, but what ended up being the big play for me in this game was I played Intelligence Leak. to get rid of Celebration, which sounds dumb because he had Grenadier and Negation in his hand, and you would think match. Yeah, you would think in a typical match, get rid of Grenadier, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I knew that the game was close on points, and if he killed 3PO or Greedo and played Celebration, that may be enough to swing the game.
Absolutely. So
I took that risk, and I got rid of Celebration. He ended up Grenadiering C-3PO to kill him. And at this point, we were tied on points 16-16 at the end of round 2. We only played 2 rounds this game. That's how, like, we were so careful with our placement and everything.
That's insane.
I use Black Market. I flip it over at the end of the round, and out comes Tough Luck. So I claim that last victory point with Black Market.
That's awesome.
He was not happy about it. But at the moment, I was just like, wow, I feel really dirty. But, like, it felt so good, too.
It's a Black Market. That's right.
Exactly. That's what a Black Market is. But it actually turns out, like, I looked at it later. I had killed 2 E-Jets for 8 points, and he had only killed Greedo and C-3PO for 6 points. So I I would have won the tiebreaker on kills either way. But that did not feel good to him, losing Black Market. So I won that one 17-16. That was the top 4 match. And so now I'm on to the final. Jabba's Palace again. This time the new ownership, the one where you get 4 points for controlling a stash. So playing the gentleman from Orlando again with his Han, E-Rangers, E-Echo, 2 Smuggler, Care Package, Balance of the Force. So I took the red zone again with the stairs, which I think was even more important this time, since I think the Rangers do a little better from that side, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Everyone has their preferences, I think, but
sure.
He opened his door early. I waited till the end of the round to open mine, and I moved my Jawa to contest the stash in the Rancor pit, which I felt like was going to be a good trade because he had the Smuggler in there, and I knew the Smuggler had a very, he would have to focus him or tools for the Jabba and get lucky to one-shot a Jawa. But the Jawa had an easy chance of one-shotting a Smuggler.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I felt like that was, and I feel like in general, I mean, even like to riots and stuff like that, Smugglers are just weaker on contesting objectives, sitting objectives, because they just die so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does soak up enemy attacks, but like with riots and your Jawa, you don't care about your attacks.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's part of why I wonder if the Wookiees could make a comeback, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Let's see what happened here. I was able to focus up Greedo this time. I used a damage power token. He pops out and shoots an E-Echo that's on the throne stash. The Echo actually made range with blue-green and did 1 damage. It was a long shot, but Greedo shot back and did, like, 4 and bleeded him.
Oh, boy.
Then I ran to contest the stash over there. He ran his Han to the middle stash, and he shot Onar at the end of the round. So Onar was actually pretty weak this game, and I knew Onar was going to die quick. So end of round 2, I kind of had to decide, do I want to let Onar die, or do I want to run him away but not get an attack off? And I kind of decided that it was more worth it to get the attack out of him that game.
Sure.
So I ended up just moving him away. He had 1 health left, and he ended up just using a Smuggler to kill him, which was fine, though.
Yeah.
Han moved towards Greedo on the stash in my deployment zone. He had a Ranger that he had run up to right to my door at the end of round 1. So he was just sitting there, which I thought was interesting that he double moved the Ranger up there.
That is interesting.
So I moved I had my weak ways, my sentries, and my Clawdeye all just hiding kind of around my terminal. And was just focusing them up and then taking them so that, like, one could pop out and get a shot and then, like, run back into hiding closer to 3PO and stuff. I ended up using a sentry to move in the middle hallway and a multi-fire to take out a Ranger that had 1 health left and a Smuggler in 1 shot. So, yeah, you can see multi-fire was pretty huge for me in multiple games. So
such a great ability.
It's so nice. And then, once again, Intelligence Leak came huge for me. He had On the Lamb and Negation in his hand when I played it. And I had Negation in my hand, but I didn't have Cons Disrupt. So I wasn't sure if I'd be able to stop his Negation because I had Take Initiative. So So I was torn about which one to get rid of, but I ended up deciding on the Lamb. It was more valuable.
Yeah.
To take out Han in one activation. So, well, that was my hope. Okay, I can try to take out Han with a set of focus weak ways. So I had one focus weak way move up, and he shot for 6 damage, and he decided to save his return fire shot, and I think he saved it because my other weak way was not focused, and he, you know, if you do the math there, a weak way is not going to be able to one-shot Han with 6 health, even if he has the surge from hidden, like in that case,
yeah.
But I don't think he was hidden. You're only going to get up to like 5 damage. So,
yeah.
But what he didn't see coming was I was able to play primary target.
Yep.
And even with his roll, I was able to then play assassinate and do enough damage to kill Han. And then I celebrated on it for 4 more points. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Then I drew Comm Disrupt at the end of the round, and I was able to stop negation from when I took initiative. Greedo, I ended up using Greedo, double moved him to the middle stash. I had moved him there. So actually, I had already moved him there, that's right. And then I just played take initiative and tapped Greedo since he was just sitting there on the stash. But he was able to roll up with his Gideon and kill Greedo. But Greedo put in his work this game. He rolled a dodge. He survived an Echo Base and a Han attack.
Oh, that's so huge.
Yeah, Han only did like 3 damage on his end of round to him. So he put in really good work for me all tournament. So GIA.
But, that's right. That's right.
I don't know, right. I'm part of the movement. So
it's taken over the Slack. GIA is taking really over the Slack is. Channel.
Greedo for president, you know.
What? I guess it's not the worst choice.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. If he had moved 3PO, it kind of came to this place. He could have moved 3PO double to the mill stash and contested it. But at this point, the writing was on the wall once I took out Han. I still had 2 sentries, 2 weak ways, my Claudite. Some of them were damaged, but, you know, none of them were dead. He was even able to run up his Ranger and throw a Grenadier into my guys. And that surprised me because I forgot, oh yeah, you're running Elite Echoes, you may have
Grenadier. That's right.
So,
yeah, good point.
Typically, you don't see that in Ranger list, so...
I guess he does have Balance of the Force, right?
Which yeah, is like and a free he had Grenadier. Balance. Exactly. So I was able to take it and win the final and take the tournament, so...
That's so awesome. It's interesting. I don't think that Scum is weak, obviously, right now, but it's not as, what's the word, popular, at least it has seemed recently. I mean, IG and E-Sentries are always super good, but you weren't running IG, right? And so I really like that your list was Scum, but like off-brand for Scum, and you were still able to do so well.
Yeah, yeah, and I ran IG at my first store tournament and was able to get a win with him, but I just, I feel like I had my fun day in the sun with IG, and I was ready to move on to try new stuff, and... And
that's
like I
awesome.
Said earlier, like he's high risk, high reward kind of. So,
yeah, great point. You know. So, so give us some. Obviously, you're a regional champion. You're an incredibly good player. But tell us, give us some thoughts on like where you think the meta's at, where you think it's going, like what you're doing. Do you have any other tournaments that are coming up? What are you doing to prepare for the meta right now?
Yeah, well, I guess first off, I'll say it's better to be lucky than good. So
that's right.
I guess that lightning can strike twice. So. Yeah, but as far as upcoming tournaments, we're planning a local kit tournament kind of thing soon, but I'm not able to make it to Worlds, unfortunately, so I won't be going to that, but I'm hoping I can make it to Nationals later this year. It just didn't work out. I have, like, a wedding, and finances and stuff aren't going to work for me this time.
Sure.
But, I'll be watching from afar and hoping somebody... I'm going to be pulling for a Rebels team to win since Rebels haven't won Worlds yet. So
yeah. So that you mean you're going to be cheering for Brett because Brett is going to be the Rebel player. So
we'll see. We'll see. Whoever makes it that far. Yeah. But I
there
mean,
you go.
Brett obviously will have a good chance to make it. So
oh, of course, of course.
But yeah, as well as preparing. I mean, Kenny and I were talking earlier, but I've been kind of introducing. Some folks in my area to the game, so I've been more teaching people. I just started a campaign group, so I've actually never played through like a regular campaign before, so we're playing through Heart of the Empire now. So I haven't been on Vassal really this year, so I haven't been practicing as much, and part of that like was because I knew once I knew I wouldn't be able to make it to Worlds, I was just kind of like, well, I should just get an insane campaign that I've been wanting to do.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have any tournaments coming up, big ones for me for a while. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been fun to see the Riots coming forward, and I don't know if I'd say fun because I don't like the Jets.
I do not like them either.
I really despise the Jets. It's just they feel so broken sometimes. But
I know, gosh, and their stupid Grenadier call the Vanguard overrun.
It's just ridiculous,
disgusting. Yeah. Fuel upgrade. It's like, come on, people.
Yeah, it's too much, and even the mobile trait, like, it just gives them such an edge. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, like on Nalhutta, they've got such a strong advantage over so many lists.
Yeah. I just hope whenever they finally release the upcoming Rebel stuff, because we all know what it is, that we have some good Rebel troopers like to bring balance.
All right, well, let's hope, I guess.
I hope. I mean, Rangers and stuff are fun, but it feels like a one-trick pony. Like,
absolutely.
You focus them up, you shoot them from afar.
Yep.
You always have to get five spaces away, it feels like. And,
yep.
You know, I maybe that's why I haven't wanted to run them as much, because I just get kind of bored by it pretty quickly. So
is there anything that you are looking to make work? Like, is there any kind of thing that you think, like an arbitrage opportunity that you're looking to exploit, like something you want to bring out to the front?
Well, there's definitely, like, I guess there are some command cards and some deployment cards. As far as deployment cards, I mean it's not like there's any big secrets out there, but I do think that Wookiee Warriors could actually have a place in the meta now that Riot Troopers are coming forward. And maybe I sound crazy for saying that, but I like the idea of having someone like Han or Ranger shooting back, and then, or, you know, having Chewbacca in there, and you have to deal with these Wookiee Warriors with 11 health.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, they do have some neat combos. Like, they can play Grizzly Contest, and they can even take that strain from Grizzly Contest and turn it into damage, and then play cards like what's it called? The Wookiee one that lets you do a special action and then they suffer damage, like up to 3 damage.
It's like Roar or something like that.
No, it's not Roar. That's the one that stuns them. It's I forget what it's called, but you can have two. You can actually have two copies of those in your deck, and so you can hurt yourself with Grizzly Contest and then do that and stuff like that. And I mean, it's still not as good as like Grenadier Overrun and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I think their ability to contest objectives, particularly like on the stash mission on Jabba, or shielded, or even just taking the crates on Jabba's, because they're so hard to kill, you can just run them away and get free points. And do the whole, if you're willing to play slow, do the whole ticking clock kind of.
Absolutely. That's an interesting. Yeah.
That can definitely work, especially in the tournament scene. Like, and that's part of, like, one reason why I also kind of stopped playing Vassal as much is because I found that it just didn't replicate the tournament scene as well.
I know that sounds
like blasphemy, because Vassal is great, but, like,
it is.
You know, I never play Celebration on Vassal, and I just found in tournament games that it can so often be such a huge swing that, you know, I'll play stuff like that. But
yeah, Vassal games, it's weird, but it does take longer for some reason that I don't totally understand why it is. But Vassal games tend to take a little bit longer, so.
Yeah, so, and just like the emotional realities of being across from your opponent and.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the pressure and all that stuff. But
oh, yeah. And playing with your sweet painted figures.
Well, not mine, because my paint job is really terrible. But
don't tell me that.
There are beautiful ones out there for sure.
Cool.
But yeah, I like the Wookiee Warriors. I mean, command cards, I like, I think there's some underrated ones. Like, I think Set a Trap could be really good in the current meta.
We were talking about that on the Slack channel, and I actually can see that in the current meta, definitely.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, typically, like, especially in Imperial, when you're running Zillow, you can just take risky cards, and, you know, the payoff can be so absurd for them, because you always have Zillow as the outlet there, you know, and so cards like that. I don't have any more that are coming off the top of my head, but
no, those are awesome. Those are super awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, do you have any other wisdom for us? Any other pearls of advice that you would like to dispense upon us?
Keep playing IA and listen to the podcast, because I promise it'll be better whoever comes on next time. So
false, absolutely false. We loved having you, Matt. We are glad to hear your report. Glad to hear about, especially, I don't know if it are you might have been the only player I've heard who has won a regionals with a Claudite. I don't know if that is true, but I think that's the case.
Yeah, that was part of the goal, is everyone was kind of hating on the Claudite. So I was like, well, I've got to see if I could do this. Because there was a lot of hype for the Claudite before it came out. And, you know, a 6-cost figure that only has 8 health is definitely very risky. But I think a lot of times people want to run in the Claudite and do the Street Rat, because the Street Rat just feels so good when you can do the Assassin's Blade.
Yeah, but, just get off all that damage.
Yeah, but I think it's better. I think sometimes the power tokens can be more valuable, and priority target is can be so huge. And so keep it back and snipe it, and then late game when there's less figures, then you can run in, contest objectives, pull off an Assassin's Blade. I think it just takes more patience, and it's very easy to forget about your start of round and switching out your forms, and I did that a few times too. So, you know, if you're going to Worlds, you got to really be careful if you're taking some, you know, figures like that, where if you forget something, you know, Hera, Onar, that could be really critical for the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would just tell you, like, if you're going to take a figure like that, just practice a lot so you don't forget.
Absolutely. Cool. Very cool. Well, we want to thank Matt for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kenny. It's been a blast.
Perfect. And we want to thank everybody for listening. We would like to encourage you again to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com and support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest.
That's right. Do it.
Perfect. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a good night.
Bye.